The closing talk today will be by Sitaji Gurung. She'll be talking about experiences of harassment among LGBT U.S. service members. Dr. Gurung is an ECFMG certified medical doctor who also obtained a master's degree in public health from Brooklyn College, City University of New York. At present, she's a project manager at CHEST and is currently involved in the management of NIH-funded intervention and longitudinal studies. Additionally, she's an adjunct faculty in Brooklyn College, where she teaches biostatistics to graduate and undergraduate students. Sitaji.
Good morning, everyone. Last but not the least, today I'm going to talk about the experiences of harassment among lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender U.S. service members. First, I'm going to tell you a little bit of background. Despite the repeal of DADG, the persistence of harassment and violence against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender service members continues. Researchers have noted some gender differences in their experiences of harassment based on perceived sexual orientation. Men were more likely to report unwanted sexual advances and coercion in the U.S. Armed Forces. The 2012 Workplace and Gender Relations Survey of Active Duty Members reported a huge increase in the unwanted sexual contact. The report estimated that approximately 26,000 service members experienced some kind of unwanted sexual contact in 2012, which is up from 19,300 in 2010. Despite the fact that the issue of military sexual assault has emerged as a growing epidemic, more needs to be done in terms of policies to protect LGBT personnel. The two objectives of this study were to describe gender differences in experiences of harassment based on sexual orientation and experiences of unwanted sexual attention among LGBT military personnel, and to compare LGBT service members' reports of incidents of harassment in the military and outside of it in their everyday lives. The three specific research questions were to: do women and men experience similar levels of harassment based on perceived sexual orientation in the military and outside of the military? Do women and men in the military report similar levels of sexual harassment and freedom to report those incidents? And the last one was, how do perceptions of DOD's training to reduce harassment based on sexual orientation influence reports of incidents of harassment in the military, one's sense of freedom to report incidents, and perceived tolerance of harassment by officers and other military personnel? Serving Proud is a mixed method study funded by the Palm Center. Since Dr. Parsons already discussed about the methods, I will be focusing on the measures that I use. In order to examine the degree of harassment based on perceived sexual orientation, the survey items were derived from the DOD's evaluation report. Participants completed these 8 items on the degree of harassment to which they had experienced or witnessed based on perceived sexual orientation in the last 12 months, both in the military and outside of their daily lives outside the military. The responses were scored on a Likert type scale of 5, ranging from 1 as in never to 5, indicating very often. To measure sexual harassment, the 2012 Workplace and Gender Relations Survey of Active Duty Members was used in terms of unwanted sexual experiences in the past 12 months. And these are the 19 items that were used, and then these items were categorized into 4 subgroups: gender harassment, unwanted sexual attention, coercion, and attempted rape or rape. The responses were reported on a scale of 5, ranging from 1 as never to 5 very often. This flowchart measures shows the measures that were used in terms of DOD's training effectiveness. Participants were asked to indicate whether they had received DOD's training using a dichotomized response, and those who responded, those who participated in the training were asked to report on perceived effectiveness in reducing harassment, non-tolerance of harassment by installation commander, unit commander, immediate supervisor, and other unit members. We also assessed whether actions were taken or not in terms of enforcing rules that harassment is prohibited and will not be tolerated, investigation of complaints, and enforcement of penalties against commanders or supervisors. Similarly, freedom to report harassment was assessed using a dichotomized response. For our analysis, Chi-square and McNamara tests were used to examine harassment based on perceived sexual orientation using a between-group and within-group design to compare men's and women's experiences in terms of harassment both in the military and during their lives outside of the military. Similarly, Chi-square test was used to examine perceived effectiveness of DoD's training using a between-group comparison. The reason why my sample size is 219 is because we selected cases for active duty by filtering out the reservists. So the sample size is 219. And the take-home point of this slide is that primarily the sample is white gay men who are HIV negative. So the proportion of participants who completed this survey was mainly bisexual men followed by lesbian women. This slide shows some of the demographic differences. So on average, mainly participants were 30 years old and there was no gender difference. Most had attended some college or earned a degree. On average, men were more likely to have a longer active duty compared to women. Relatively similar proportions of men and women were currently active. In terms of branch of service, highest proportions of men were from the Army and Air Force, and women were mainly from the Army, followed by Air Force. This slide shows the proportion of LGBT service members who experienced harassment based on perceived sexual orientation, and this was compared between male and female. So by just looking at this bar graph, there is really the experiences, the harassment based on perceived sexual orientation experienced by both male and female were pretty similar for all of these 8 items. Except one item, which is denying career opportunities, which was found to be significant. This slide shows the proportion of LGBT service members who experience harassment based on perceived sexual orientation in the military and during their lives outside of the military. Both women and men reported a greater number of incidents involving all of these 8 items. Since p-value was less than 0.05, these items were found to be significantly different. However, we are seeing these huge differences maybe due to the perception of structural stigma and their sense of world in general, but the big picture is did they actually witness themselves, or they simply saw on the news or through social media that gay men were beaten up and so forth. So we think that these are not directly comparable, whereas within the military they are thinking about their own experiences. For sexual harassment, out of 19 items that we asked, 8 items were found to be significant, and 3 of these items were marginally significant. Overall, women reported more incidents of sexual harassment in the military compared to men. In terms of DOD's training participation and its perceived effectiveness in reducing harassment, most participated in DOD's training, which is anti-harassment program, and of those who participated, 54% rated them as effective in reducing harassment in the military, while 34% rated them as not at all effective, and 12% were unsure. Compared to those who rated the program as ineffective, a greater number of those who rated them effective reported enforcement of penalties for perpetrators, non-tolerance of harassment by commanders, supervisors, and unit members, and a sense of freedom to report incidents. Enforcing rules that harassment is prohibited and will not be tolerated, it was not found to be significantly different between those who rated the programs as effective versus ineffective. And investigation of complaint was marginally significant. So except these two items, the rest of the items were significantly different. The key findings of this study were women and men reported similar levels of harassment in the military. Overall, LGBT service members reported incidents involving offensive speech, hostile gestures, threats, graffiti, vandalism, physical assault, and denying career punishment more frequently outside of the military than within the military. LGBT service members who indicated that DOD's harassment training was effective reported lower levels of harassment, greater intolerance for these types of incidents, and prevention efforts on the part of military personnel to prevent these types of incidents. LGBT service members report unwanted sexual advances, coercion, or contact in the military, consistent with prior studies, significant differences in sexual harassment by gender in the military. The proportion of women who experienced sexual harassment at least once in the past 12 months was significantly higher compared to male, and male service members who also experienced unwanted sexual attention in the military. For implications for research, LGBT service members' experiences of harassment highlight the need to continue with a comprehensive assessment of harassment, particularly as attitudes evolve on the ground post the DADT repeal. The inclusion of questions about experiences of harassment outside the military offers a positive and perhaps optimistic perspective about the social environment since the repeal of DADT. Yet, undeniable fact is that LGBT service members are victimized. So future researchers can look at the impact on mental health and well-being, impact on sexual health. Future researchers can also do a qualitative study to gain a deeper understanding of the multitude of experiences and how they may impact health. Implications for policy. The recent end to DOMA is a key step, but it does not protect transgender service members. To protect LGBT service members from being treated unfairly, strengthening accountability within DOD to ensure the effectiveness of the change in policies would be helpful. Implementing reliable reporting procedures with strong oversight mechanisms throughout the military to safeguard LGBT service members from harassment and unfair treatment, and considering sexual orientation as a class under the DOD Military Equal Opportunity Program, and enforcing a stronger punitive policy regarding anti-LGBT harassment and promoting anti-harassment initiatives in the military would be some of the policies that might be helpful. I want to acknowledge everyone on this slide, and especially to Dr. Grove, who was my thesis advisor. And if you have any questions, I have my email address here. Thank you very much.